वासुदेवाय
वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 46 एंड दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज ब्रह्मा स्टीलिंग द बॉयज एंड द कैव्स तावा सर्वे वत्स पालाः पश्यतो अजस्य तत्क्षणा विदृश्यन्त श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे हरे तावत् सर्वे वत्स्यपालाः पश्यतो जस्य तत्क्षणात् व्यदृश्यन्त घनश्यामाः पीतकौशेयवाससः देन व्हाइल लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा लुक्ड ऑन ऑल द काउज एंड द बॉयज टेंडिंग देम इमीडिएटली अपीयर्ड टू हैव कॉम्प्लेक्शंस द कलर ऑफ ब्लूइश रेन क्लाउड्स एंड टू बी ड्रेस्ड इन येलो सिल्कन गारमेंट्स Hare Krishna. So Lord Brahma was trying to compete with Krishna, and because he tried to compete with Krishna, exhibit his power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bewildering Lord Brahmaji. Of course, when Lord Brahma decided to test the Supreme Lord and exhibit his power, he learned a small lesson. But the conditioned souls, they have learned a bigger lesson. It cost us to come to this material world for millions of lifetimes. Same mistake. The difference is because Brahmaji was continued to engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the whole pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan or any part of the Srimad Bhagavatam is a lesson for the conditioned soul to learn that with whatever energy we have, or whatever intelligence, material intelligence, mind and our senses we have, they are all meant for using in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the whole material creation is the facility created by the Lord to give us an opportunity to again render devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, a conditioned soul in the material world, from the lowest planet of Patala Loka up to the highest planet of Brahma Loka, he keeps wandering many lifetimes without finding a shelter. And that itself is a big punishment, being in this material world, having a material body, like one sannyasi is mentioning. When you get up in the morning, when you see in the mirror, devotees don't see so much. He said, when you see in the mirror, you should realize what a disaster, I still have a material body. And simply having this material body is a sign that we are living an imprisoned life. And therefore, again, as we were discussing yesterday, but Krishna is so merciful, Lord devotees are so merciful, even with this body which is imprisoned, is an imprisonment for the eternal soul, can give us the facility to attain the eternal perfection. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Bali Maharaj decided to offer everything, Atma Nivedanam, everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shukracharya stopped him. But he gave certain suggestions to Bali Maharaj. He said, Vamandev is going to take everything away from you, including this body. And if you cut this body, body is just like a tree. And if you cut this body, then you will not realize the fruit. If you cut off the tree only, then you don't get the fruits. So don't cut this body. Let you realize the fruits. So one time, Isolene Sridhar Swami Maharaj was explaining, our Sridhar Maharaj. He said, this material body, even though it is rotten and useless for any material purpose, just see the potency of this material body to give pain, not pleasure. Every part of our body has got unlimited potential to give unlimited pain. Pleasure is simply imagination. But the same material body which has got unlimited potential to give pain, when it is used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the same material body which is cause of our bondage can help us to realize our eternal constitutional position. That going back to the spiritual world. So this pastime of Lord Brahma is seeing Lord Vishnu. Not one Vishnu, that every calf, every cow, every coward boys, they all transform into many, many Vishnu forms. When you see the Lord, you become glad and you become happy. But here Lord Brahmaji, because there is he had some inhibition, some reservation in accepting Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So when he saw all his Vishnu form, there was a bewilderment. He was shocked. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told that story. When Lord Brahma, after this pastime, he wanted to meet the Supreme Lord. He came to meet the Lord in his Vaikuntha planet. No, in his Golok Vrindavan only. So when he came to meet the Lord, he told the gatekeeper, tell the Lord that Lord Brahmaji has come. So the gatekeeper went inside and he told the Lord, Mahaprabhu was narrating this story to Sanatan Goswami. He said, Lord Brahmaji has come. So Krishna, just to show what is the position of Lord Brahma, Krishna knows everything. He said, go and ask him which Brahma. Just see that somebody you know, your subordinate is very important personality, and he sends a message, you go and tell that I have come. And your boss said, who is this? I don't know him. So Lord Brahma, when he was asked by the gatekeeper, which Brahma are you? He was shocked and felt a little hurt. Then he said, tell four-headed Lord Brahma. So then he was allowed to come inside. So when Lord Brahmaji was called inside, meanwhile Krishna had arranged all other Brahmas to come. And when Brahmaji saw that he was so insignificant compared to all these Brahmas, having 8-headed Brahmas, 16-headed Brahmas, 32, 64, 128, 256, now billions of heads of Brahmaji. He said, I am so insignificant. Then all the Brahmas, when they offered their obeisances, it made a big sound. And all their helmets, every head had a helmet, make a big sound, and they offered their obeisances. They got up and Krishna said, any problem in your universes? Then you can go back now. So here we see Lord Brahma is seeing the Vishnu forms, darshayantaha, and is bewildered. But when he understands that actually I made a mistake and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then the reality is realized by Lord Brahma. Ultimately, seeing Krishna or seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and everything depends upon Him, nothing is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes not from seeing God. Because even after seeing God, one may not come to this conclusion, as Brahmaji is bewildered. But when you come to this conclusion that nothing is separated from Krishna, including myself, my existence is depending upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this realization comes, then when you see God, what does it do? Then you see no difference. Then whatever you see is absolutely connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings of Lord Kapila are very important for the practicing devotees. So Lord Kapila Muni explains that a practicing devotee, when he sees the deity form of the Lord, if he comes to the temple and sees the Lord, and he worships them, he offers all kinds of proper rituals in the worship of the Lord, but he does not come to this understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in every living entities. He said his worship does not please the Supreme Lord. He is not satisfied with that. That kind of worship is a worship of a separatist. It does not make much spiritual advancement in that. Therefore, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that to be Krishna conscious means to be conscious of every aspect. If you are always interacting with matter, a spirit soul, when he all the time interacts with matter, what does it do? It makes him materialistic. And when he becomes materialistic, his sensitivity is lost. He becomes dull. He becomes desensitized. In that desensitized condition, he cannot actually understand the existence of the soul and the existence of the super soul in all the bodies. When Srila Prabhupada was in France and he was preaching to this cardinal, very famous conversation, and that cardinal was not able to accept Srila Prabhupada's proposition that every living entity is a spirit soul. Exploitation leads to cancellation of the soul. You cancel the soul. In the 15th or 14th, 16th century, one devotee writes in one of his articles, he said, the Christianity was teaching that even women don't have soul. What to speak of animals? And Prabhupada was giving such a simple example to them. He said, just see, when you hurt the child of a mother, what do you experience? You experience pain. He said, similarly, if you are hurting a calf or hurting a chicken, there is a pain from the mother. The mother is expressing the pain. He said, why can't you connect these two? But he was not able to connect. Why? Because they were taught that this whole material creation is created so that it is meant for our enjoyment. When you see that whole material world is created for your enjoyment, then you also see God's creation. God is there for my enjoyment. Then eventually God also becomes non-person. We make God also a matter. Prabhupada told that story that one time one king wanted a nice painting. The painting was, he wanted to have a depiction of a child being murdered or being slaughtered or being tortured, and what will be the reaction of a mother. Now the painters had all of their imagination, what will be the reaction of a mother. And so many painters painted the picture of mother, exhibiting ghastly form, she's crying, she's screaming. But the king did not select any of this painting. One painting was selected. Which was that painting? The mother closed her eyes. She was not able to see that. He said, this is the picture. He said, you cannot stand your own offspring being tortured. So Srila Prabhupada explains that one cannot make the connection when you see God as the God is there so that he can fulfill the facilities for our material requirements. And all the resources of this material world are meant for my enjoyment, including all the spirit souls. So we see matter in the spirit soul. But the Krishna consciousness philosophy, what does it teach? The philosophy of Krishna consciousness teaches us seeing spirit in everything. Srila Prabhupada writes in speaks in one of his lectures. He said the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is to spiritualize everything. He said there is no matter for a devotee. For a devotee, everything is spirit. And beyond spirit, he sees Supreme Spirit. He sees the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, when Lord Brahmaji, that is Krishna's special mercy on Lord Brahma, that he could see the Paramatma, which is there in the heart of every living entity. Of course, these calves and calves and the cowherd boys were actually 400 Paramatma. They were non-different from Krishna. And Lord Krishna gave that perception to Lord Brahma. And when Lord Brahmaji saw, and he came to this conclusion that nothing exists apart from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then next thing he saw, we read in this chapter, next thing he saw was Vrindavan Dham. And when he saw Vrindavan Dham, what did he see in Vrindavan Dham? He saw in Vrindavan Dham that all the animals, even the ferocious animals, had such a nice cooperation between themselves. They were all friendly to each other. Lord Brahmaji saw that. And then he saw that in the land of Vrindavan, there is no whipping of the material suffering. You don't experience hunger. There is no thirst. There is no sleep. There is no lamentation. And that is Vrindavan land. The land of Vrindavan, what does it teach us? It teaches us there is complete coexistence. Not only complete coexistence, there is great friendship among all the living entities. And Srila Prabhupada writes, when you talk about one jungle or forest, you become very scared and fearful. Jungle means what? The forest means where you find ferocious animals waiting to devour you. But when you talk about the land of Vrindavan, it doesn't happen like that. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through the Jharikhand forest, you know, running, almost running towards the land of Vrindavan, he came to the Jharikhand forest, and in Jharikhand forest, simply by seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the animals in the forest, they gave up their natural enmity and they became very friendly to each other. The tigers and deers, their natural enemies, Mahaprabhu saw that, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya, when he saw this, he was completely wonderstruck, and he is only narrating this story to all other devotees. He saw the deers and tigers kissing each other. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse from Brahmaji's observation of Krishna. So when you observe Krishna, when we see Krishna, the reaction of seeing Krishna is this understanding that nothing exists apart from Krishna, and everybody is coexisting and everybody is friendly. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, and he was smiling and he was very happy. So before he went to Vrindavan, Vrindavan was already existing within him. Therefore, while he was dancing in front of the Ratha cart in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu was reciting this prayer. Lord Chaitanya said, for most people, mind and heart one and the same. But for me, my mind is Vrindavan, Moraman Vrindavan. So when somebody experiences that level of consciousness, and then one can understand that is actually Krishna conscious, actually God conscious. There is no duality. As long as duality exists, that long we are far away from being God conscious. We are far away being Krishna conscious. Even while performing devotional service, in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read, Lord Vishnu came in the presence of Daksha Prajapati. And Daksha Prajapati was praised by the Lord that I am very satisfied with your tapasya. And now I give you the facilities to procreate and make more and more living beings. In fact, Lord Vishnu shook the hands of Daksha. He was satisfied with his service. Now, the presence of Lord Vishnu is not ordinary. So, even though Daksha Prajapati had the facilities to see Krishna, Krishna was pleased with him. When he started rendering service to the Lord, he made one big blunder. His service was to simply procreate. But Lord also gave some other service to Narad Muni. And what was the service of Narad Muni? That Daksha will procreate and you help them to get liberated from this material world. And Narad Muni, when he saw this Harishwas and Shavalashwas, he preached to them pure Krishna consciousness. That was the service of Narad Muni. But unfortunately, Daksha could not make this connection. In fact, he cursed Narad Muni. He said, you call sadhu, but you are not a sadhu, you are a sadhu. I curse you that you don't stay at one place more than 3 days. Of course, Narad Muni made that curse into a benediction. Because he didn't see any difference in his service and in his Daksha's service. His service was higher than the service of Daksha. He said, if you curse me, no problem. That makes me to preach more and more. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Just see, even though he was rendering service to Lord Vishnu, but he could not see the higher service which was rendered by Narada Muni. Again, there was a duality. So therefore, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni gives again practical solution and practical way of practicing devotional service for the sadhakas, the practicing devotees. To come to that level where we can see Krishna everywhere. Niti Shastra is a great observer. Niti Shastra is nothing but observing the material nature. And one great observer, Niti Shastra is compiled by many people. So one observer, he says, just see in the family of Lord Shiva. Because the focal point is service to Lord Shiva, all the animals, it's very nice one. He says the tiger is there, the peacock is there, the rat is there, and the snake is there. And all of this, the rat is eaten by the snake is eaten by the peacock, and peacock is eaten by the tiger. But still all of them, they are living in the family of Lord Shiva without any problem. Why? Because their focal point is service to the family of Lord Shiva. So therefore, there is no conflict. So in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Kapil Muni gives the practical solution in regards to how we can come to this platform of Krishna consciousness. Because being God conscious doesn't mean simply believing in God. Devamrita Swami Maharaj was explaining in one of his lectures that Krishna consciousness goes beyond believing in God. Krishna consciousness means learning the art of becoming Krishna conscious 24 hours. And becoming Krishna consciousness means you forget I consciousness or me consciousness. And naturally there is cooperation and coordination. So in the third canto, Kapil Muni gives a very simple solution. He said, a devotee of the Lord, first thing, Mahatam Bahumanena Dinanam Anukampaya Maitri Atma Tulleshu Yamena Niyamenava. That a practicing devotee of the Lord, Mahatam Bahumanena, anybody who is superior to him, what does he do? He has to respect and worship such great personalities. Our own spiritual master, the spiritual master of other disciples, and the predecessor acharyas. That is the principle. And dinanam anukampaya. And those who are fallen, those conditioned souls, those who don't know about Krishna, becoming compassionate to them, being compassionate to them. That is the second character. And Maitri with those who are equal to us, developing strong friendship, not conflict. Yamena Niyamenava. And how do we do it? By practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. When we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, and even these three also are the part of the process. Worshipping our superiors, exhibiting compassion to the conditioned souls, and become friendly to our equals. So when we do like that, then the principle of Vrindavan is realized. Vrindavan is a concept. Vrindavan is not simply a land. You know, sometime, like Prabhupada gave an example of one German. He came to the land of Vrindavan one time. He flew from Germany. Now in those countries, cleanliness, at least they say it is very clean. So when he came to Delhi, he took a taxi from airport, he came to Vrindavan. And when he saw the pigs and the dogs and the monkeys and the sewage system in Vrindavan, he was completely confused. And he took the same taxi back to Delhi, took a flight and went back to Germany. He came to Vrindavan, but he could not see Vrindavan. What did he see? He saw only monkeys, pigs and dogs and the sewage system. He could not see anything in Vrindavan. But here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not in Vrindavan. He is somewhere in the forest, in Jharkhand forest. But he was seeing Vrindavan. And therefore Mahaprabhu has come to teach us this principle of how to understand the principle of Vrindavan. Able to see Krishna everywhere. When Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj were having an argument, what was the difference between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj? Why Hiranyakashipu could not see Prahlad in a proper spirit? And why Prahlad could see Hiranyakashipu even though his father was a big demon? He could not see Hiranyakashipu different from Krishna's energy. Because Prahlad was taught to see Krishna everywhere. The conflict in this pastime between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj is the conflict of seeing Krishna everywhere and seeing Krishna nowhere. That is the conflict. Hiranyakashipu could not see Krishna anywhere and Prahlad Maharaj could not stop seeing Krishna anywhere, including Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, when Hiranyakashipu asked, "Where do you get this strength from?" He said, "Wherever you get from, same source. You know, your strength also is coming from the same source. My strength is also coming from the same source. No difference." And Prabhupada quotes that famous verse. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Ramananda Roy, and after he heard from Ramananda Roy the concept of Krishna consciousness, of course Ramananda Roy was made a toy in the hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a puppet. And he was speaking. Ramananda Roy said that I am like a string. And you are moving that string and it is making a sound. So Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Ramananda Roy and he exhibited, without telling him that I am going to exhibit you what? My divine form of Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is standing in the middle as a sannyasi and both the side. One side Radharani was manifesting and on the other side Krishna was manifesting. When Ramananda Roy saw that, he realized that Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. And he started offering prayers to Lord Gauranga. He was so happy. He was in ecstasy, he was in bliss. And he started glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that you are non-different from Radha and Krishna. And Mahaprabhu smiled. He said, "My dear Ramananda Roy, that is the character of a pure devotee. He does not see anything but Krishna." He said, "I am not Krishna, but your greatness is so wonderful. You are such a great devotee. You don't see anything but Krishna." One, he said, a pure devotee of the Lord does not see matter, sthavara, He does not see jangama, that is spirit. He does not see spirit or matter, but what does he see? Every place, either matter or spirit, he only experiences his inspirational God, Ishtadeva Spurti. Like when Srila Prabhupada was in New York, in Bowery. Even though, you know, America is a very clean place, but during the weekends, when people are stoned to drugs and liquor, if you walk, when you're walking, you smell, there is a very horrible smell. People take a lot of wine on the weekends and then lose all of their regular behavior of cleanliness. And for them, everywhere it looks toilet. They also have that consciousness. And they pass urine everywhere. And it stinks. And then Prabhupada, one time he was walking, his devotees took him through such a place. And they started asking Srila Prabhupada, please forgive us, you know, we took you to this path. And Prabhupada said, no, no need to beg forgiveness. He said, it is non-different from Vaikuntha. Can you imagine, like Srila Prabhupada was very, very careful about cleanliness. But because he was not managing, when he was not managing, then he would exhibit his profound Krishna consciousness, the mentality of a Mahabhagavat. He said, this is not different from Vrindavan, this is not different from Vaikuntha planet. He said, I cannot see the difference. So therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to learn this art. And therefore, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, as compared to any other philosophy, it judges us. How do you know how much advanced we are? Not based upon how much tears come from our eyes, how many times hair stand on our body. One can actually learn this art. Like one time in Los Angeles, one Prakrita Sahaja, even in Los Angeles he came, and he was in the temple, lying down, and exhibiting different ecstatic symptoms. And then Gurudas Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how do I know that this is fake or this is genuine? And Prabhupada gave a very practical solution. He said, you kick him. He said, if you kick him, if it's a genuine symptoms, he will not realize. If it is not genuine, he'll just walk away from there. Very simple. So these ecstatic symptoms, one can actually imitate. If you go to Vrindavan, if you go to Mayapur, there are many Babaji, they smoke cigarette, they eat tobacco, but when they start hearing the pastimes of Krishna, they continuously cry. And we sleep in the lecture, but they are continuously crying. And you might feel, oh, what an impressive thing. Just see, when they hear the pastimes of the Lord, they are continuously crying. But that is not the sign of an advanced devotee. The sign of an advanced devotee is that he can see everything in relationship to Krishna. If he cannot see everything in relationship to Krishna, then that is not the sign of advancement. That is very superficial. The substance of the heart of a Krishna conscious devotee, that he does not see anything which is not connected to Krishna. Therefore, the mundane religion we see in the West, the mundane religion, what does it teach? It gives atheism a spiritual touch. Religion is mundane. It is an atheistic principle. Therefore, in the present society, many people follow the Nirvishesh philosophy, the philosophy of Lord Buddha. Does not accept the scriptures. There is no question of God. There is no question of soul. And therefore, it is a materialistic thing, but it has a nice package of spirituality. People say, I want to be a Buddhist. Why? Because it justifies your materialistic activities. But Krishna consciousness philosophy, even the whole arrangement in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read when four Kumaras, when before meeting Lord Vishnu, when they saw Jai Vijay, when they saw their behavior, they became angry and upset and they cursed. But after they saw Lord Vishnu, they were practicing a spirituality. But when they were not properly treated by the gatekeepers, they became very angry and they cursed the gatekeepers of Lord Vishnu. And then immediately Lord Vishnu came outside. And when they saw Lord Vishnu, and when Lord Vishnu started speaking to them, and Vishnu spoke so nicely, he exhibited such a humility. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibiting humility towards those people who made a mistake. Four Kumaras made a mistake of cursing Jai Vijay. And that's what they say. Four Kumaras, they say that actually it was a mistake on our part, cursing your eternal associate. But Lord Vishnu spoke so nicely, glorifying the Brahmanas, glorifying the Vaishnavas. Lord Vishnu said, actually I get the power of purifying people of their sinful activities simply because I associate with these great souls. My power comes from pure devotees. Even I take the dust of such pure devotees on my head. When he spoke this language, the four Kumara said, my dear Lord, we don't frankly understand. Are you pleased with us? Are you displeased with us? You know, why are you speaking like this? Please explain to us clearly. And they said, we made a mistake of cursing these gatekeepers. And when Lord Vishnu said, no, it is ordained by me. The cursing of these gatekeepers was already predicted by whom? Mother Lakshmi, she had predicted. It is ordained by me, so let them go down. That is also my arrangement. And then the four Kumaras were pacified. And then the four Kumaras, you know, by being with Lord Vishnu, their vision was changed. The whole vision was changed. Therefore, in the Brahma Samhita, when we read that verse, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, His Grace Pradyumna Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada disciple, he gave a very nice commentary on this verse. He said, we have the vision of exploitation and we have the vision of service. The materialistic eye is the eye of exploitation. And because it is eye of exploitation, it cannot see Krishna. But then when that vision is converted into the vision of service, then that service brings forth the vision of prema, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. And then with such vision of prema, what happens? That heart is transformed. I think, if I'm not wrong, last time I narrated the story. When Dhanurdhar, the great follower of Ramanujacharya, he was going every day to Lord Ranganath's temple. He was seeing Lord Ranganath, but there was no change. And therefore, when he would see the prostitute, he was so obsessed with her, he was carrying umbrella. He was serving her, constantly absorbed in seeing her. And when Ramanujacharya saw that, he was fascinated by that. He did not condemn him. Again, that is the beauty of the great acharyas. All others, they started condemning Dhanurdas for his obsession towards a prostitute. But what Ramanujacharya did? Ramanujacharya, what a character he has, what a quality he has. Such an easy job for me to make him a devotee. That's what Ramanujacharya was thinking. That he has the art of being absorbed. He has the disposition of serving. Now simply have to transform it. Therefore he asked one of his servants, go and call him. And when Dhanurdas was called, first of all he was so absorbed, nobody could shake his absorption. And that actually go and shake him. Hey, come on here, he said. Ramanujacharya is calling you. Then he came to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya said, what is so special about her? He said, her eyes. They are so beautiful.
He said, I've never seen something so beautiful like her eyes.
Ramanujacharya said, very nice.
If I show you better eyes than them, he said, then I will serve them.
And Ramanujacharya led him to Ranganath temple.
And now, this Dhanurdas was seeing through the compassion of Sripad Ramanujacharya, the eyes of Lord Ranganath, which he was seeing regularly. But when he saw through the compassionate heart of Ramanujacharya, there was immediate transformation. He got converted. He became a great devotee of Lord Ramanujacharya. Therefore, the Shastras explain that bhakti is practiced under the guidance of the devotees. When we practice devotional service under the guidance of the devotees, then our seeing has a different disposition, our seeing has a different connection. The same thing we see as a materialistic people, and our understanding is different. But when we see through the eyes of the devotees, or we see through the words of the devotees, therefore Krishna is called as Shrutekshitaha. One name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one who is seen by hearing. He is not seen by seeing. Because seeing Krishna, you don't see. But when you hear Krishna, then by hearing, when you see Krishna, then you actually see. So when he heard from the Ramanujacharya, then he saw Lord Ranganath. He really saw Lord Ranganath. Therefore, the path of bhakti yoga is to hear. And just see here, at Shri Radha Kunja Bihari temple, so many devotees, it's quite amazing that Radheshyam Prabhu and his team, they have created this situation, chant, preach Krishna consciousness, perform kirtan, and then hundreds of people come here. The simple process of devotional service of chanting and hearing attracts hundreds of people. No other process is required. Sometime devotees, we visited one place in America, and there in that temple, unfortunately, because the importance is not given for hearing and chanting, naturally not people come, not many people come. And to attract more people, what they have done is that they have got all deities. It has become a wholesale market of many deities. Ganesh is there, Buddha is there. No, so many are there, thinking that that will attract people. No, that will not attract people. Because the process is not that. The process is chanting and hearing. When the chanting and hearing takes place, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Paraspara, in that chanting and hearing, Krishna takes his appearance. The Lord appears when chanting and hearing takes place. In fact, therefore the Lord appears to give a facility for his devotees so they can talk about him, they can hear about him, and in this way, in their hearing and chanting, the Lord again manifests. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Krishna Samhita, Krishna's appearance is not only in the spiritual world, Krishna's appearance is not only in the Bhauma Vrindavan, Krishna's appearance is actually non-different from appearing in Bhauma Vrindavan or in Golok Vrindavan. When the hearing takes place, and the Lord also appears in the heart of his devotees, and he performs all the pastimes. And for such a devotee, one who hears about Krishna, one who chants about Krishna, and that chanting and hearing it, which allows Krishna to manifest within his heart, then actually captures the whole Vrindavan Dham in his heart. And he distributes that Vrindavan Dham to everybody. Like Mahanidhi Maharaj, during the Pandal festival in Cross Maidan, he made a very brilliant point. He said, Prabhupada was from Vrindavan. He carried Vrindavan in his heart. In Vrindavan, who resides? Radha Krishna reside. So he went to West, and slowly, slowly, the Vrindavan started manifesting. He established Radha Govinda Dev. They are from Vrindavan. So because Vrindavan was carried by Srila Prabhupada in his heart, Radha Govindadev came in New York. Radha Londoneshwar came in London. Radha Parisveshwar came in Paris. Rukmini Dwarkadish came in Los Angeles. Radha Kunjbihari came in Detroit. So the Vrindavan which he carried in his heart, and because the Vrindavan also is Radha Krishna, it became very easy for him to, you know, actually reveal to the fallen conditioned souls of the Western world so that they can see Vrindavan. He said, that is the power of a pure devotee. He captures Vrindavan within his heart, and wherever he wants, he just removes Vrindavan Dham along with Radha and Krishna and places them. The deities were there and the temples were there, which is non-different from Vrindavan. And that is the success of our Krishna consciousness. To manifest Vrindavan within our heart. And at the same time try to distribute that in the hearts of others. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes. Any question is there? I'll read. You related yesterday topic on chanting. Whenever I hear on inspiring lecture on chanting, I'm very enthusiastic the next day to chant quality rounds. But it's only for 2-3 or almost 7 days. How can I be enthusiastic everlasting? Keep hearing about chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada introduced this Ishta Goshti. What do you do in Ishta Goshti? We talk about our morning sadhana. We keep hearing. The nature of conditioned soul is to always go down, not go up. Going up takes some extra endeavor, but going down does not take any endeavor. You know, to store the water in the tank, you have to start the machine. Some very powerful machine. But if you want to bring water down from the tank, you don't need to start any machine. Just, you know, you pierce one hole, all the water flows. So that is the nature of a conditioned soul. In the material world, we need to hear again and again. All the time. Therefore, Pradyumna Prabhu was mentioning, more important than reading is hearing. Because hearing has a life. Hearing is very active. Sometimes reading is very passive. But hearing is very active. So when we hear about it from devotees, in the association of devotees, then naturally we get confidence. Prabhupada explains, in the mundane world, imaginary thing which does not exist, when you speak it enough time and louder, it becomes a reality. You speak loud and many times, it becomes a reality. So that is our conditioning. Even something does not exist, when you hear it again and again, you start believing it. And what to speak of? A real thing. And when we hear about it regularly, then the conviction develops. Like Peter Barwash, we were quoting about him. He was traveling. And then, you know, somebody told him, no, I think Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj quotes this. I'm confused about this. So one person, when he came to know that his next passenger was a consultant. He would give leadership seminars, he would talk on inspiration. And then he made a point, that don't help. You know, after a few days you just forget. And the air hostess, she heard it. And she came to him, she said, my dear sir, you know, you become dirty also after taking bath, but you don't stop taking bath. What do? You keep taking bath every day. You don't say, oh, because I become dirty, what is the use of taking bath? No, you keep taking bath every day. Similarly, just because you give up your enthusiasm after hearing, it's not that we don't hear. Just like we take bath every day, we also have to hear every day about the process of Krishna consciousness. Then our conviction increases. Then we get greater enthusiasm to practice the process of Krishna consciousness. Yes, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Mic is not there.
See, this was based on yesterday's class. You're telling about how we cannot understand Shastra.
Louder.
About how we cannot understand Shastra ourselves. So I was asked this question that the Shastra is supposed to be a manual. So why would someone make a manual in such a way that it would confuse everyone?
No, I didn't get the last part.
We generally say that the scriptures are like God manual for humanity. So why would God in such a way that it would confuse everyone?
Yeah, somebody can repeat. Okay, I'll repeat. If the Vedas are like manual, and why the Vedas are made so confusing? That is the question. Shastras are not made confusing. You know, confusion is there within our own mind. Again, duality is caused because not the Shastras cause duality. You know, we create duality. Therefore, you know, even if you read something which is, it appears to be so clearly, grossly contradictory, that is the defect in our understanding. That is the first principle we have to understand. Conditioned soul is so egoistic. You know, we are all conditioned soul and we are so egoistic. We think that we can understand everything. We can grasp the truth of the absolute truth within our limited intelligence. So when we see apparently contradictions in the Shastras, we dare to make such comments that, you know, they are contradictory. How can we believe in the Shastras? No. Shastra is also as good as Krishna. Just like when you see Krishna and get bewildered, if you don't have a proper disposition, Duryodhan saw Krishna, kept on seeing Krishna all the time. But what was his problem? He said, you are so... He was telling Krishna in Hastinapur, he said, you are so partial to the Pandavas. You are acting very dualistically. Even Gandhari, she was such a pure lady, she cursed Krishna. Even she could not understand. What to speak of Gandhari and Duryodhan? Even the Yadavas, some of the Yadavas, that's what Uddhav says, even they could not understand. Very few people could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Shastras are also non-different from Krishna. If there is a wrong disposition, naturally you will find conflicting understanding in the Shastras. But there are none. Like one scholar came to Srila Prabhupada and he asked the same question. He said, why there are contradictory opinions of the Acharyas? And what did Prabhupada say? There are no contradictions. Contradiction is in within your mind. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, if you want to accept God and God's scriptures, you have to accept one principle, the principle of Achintya. If you don't accept the principle of Achintya, you cannot accommodate the concept of God and His existence. Not possible. People may say, oh, for everything, you know, when you don't answer, if you don't have any explanation, you say Achintya, it is Achintya. Very easy escape for not giving proper explanation. No, it's not like that. Therefore, that verse in the 11th canto, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir, Tate Deve Tata Guru. That one who has implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead, only to such people, what happens? All the imports of the Shastras are revealed. Prakashante Mahatmana. Therefore, it is explained that hearing in the association of devotees, in the association of the Mahajans, when we hear from them, then everything becomes reconciled. There remains no contradiction. They make it very easy for us. When we hear in the association of devotees, everything becomes very easy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, at some point of time, you have to start following blindly. Logic is meant to understand that logic doesn't work. That is also a logic. That you use logic and apply it in the scriptures, then you come to this conclusion that logic does not work in understanding the Shastra logically. You have to go beyond that. Krishna is beyond intelligence, Krishna is beyond mind, Krishna is beyond senses. Only when He Himself wants to reveal us, then we can understand Krishna. We have to accept this principle. Therefore, the mundane wranglers, one of the basic defects of the mundane wranglers against the Vedic style of learning the Shastras. Now, I was in Barsana Maharaj, I don't think if I told this story. Very nice one. Barsana Maharaj, I told this story last time? No. Barsana Maharaj was a philosophy student. He wanted to know about the scriptures. So he was studying philosophy in his college. And the teacher saw that he is a very desperate student. And he knew that the textbook does not teach anything. Now the teacher, the professor knew all the scriptures, he knew everything. So when he saw the desperation of Barsana Maharaj as a student, one day he just blurted out, "You don't find professors doing to their students." He said, "My dear friend, you have to go and live in an ashram, then you can understand." And when Barsana Maharaj heard that, he started walking out of the classroom. He said, "You said it." And he was pointing at the professor, "You have said it, I am doing it now." And he said, the professor's jaws fell down. He said, "Why did I say that? And I am not supposed to say this to the students." But he said it. And Barsana Maharaj walked out of the classroom, never to come back again to classroom. And he went and he was searching the books of Eastern philosophy. He bumped into a Bhagavad Gita. Not as it is, but some other Bhagavad Gita. And he was reading regularly. Every day. Did not make any sense to him. And he was a very, he would not like the cities. He was living in woods, in the jungle. And one day he was sitting on a top of the tree. And he was reading Bhagavad Gita. And then one young man came there. Again, same person, same kind of a person. He came there and he saw this American sitting on a tree and reading something. And from down he asked, "What are you reading?" He said, "I am reading Bhagavad Gita." So this man asked him, "So what did you understand in Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Nothing." He said, "I understand nothing. But one thing I understand from this book." So that is the point what I'm making. He said, "One point I understand from this book is that one has to approach a spiritual master." He quoted 4.34. So that is the only thing I've understood. He said, "Nothing else." "Oh," he said, "that is the point." Then he said, "You come. The Swami has come to New York. Bhaktivedanta Swami has come to New York. And he will teach you the Bhagavad Gita." And Barsana Maharaj had his own plane, his private plane. He had his own, in America people can afford. Even though he was living in a jungle, he would fly from one farm to another farm. So he said, "Okay, why not go to New York?" That was the first time he took a flight to a city. When he started flying in New York City, naturally, because there is so much of system, when he started getting signal, he said, "You get out of our zone. You cannot land here." And he landed in some part, and he, you know, he landed his flight, and then he walked. He started walking from there. And he came to 26th Second Avenue. He walked for many, many hours. And he never went back to see his flight. Maybe the flight is still landing there. And then he met Srila Prabhupada. That's how he became a devotee. That's how he understood Bhagavad Gita. He's a prolific speaker of Lord Chaitanya's pastime. Another story, our Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj mentioned. In Gita Nagari, he was, after Bhakti Tirth Maharaj gave a talk, you know, other sannyasis would answer the questions of devotees. And one devotee asked about, you know, praying to Krishna, asking the Lord, can we specifically pray to the Lord that, you know, we want our Guru to stay back? And Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, you know, he volunteered to answer this question. He said, I want to answer this question. And he gave a very brilliant answer. He said, actually, ultimately we have to follow whatever is ordered by our spiritual master. Otherwise, you cannot understand. And he gave one very simple example. He wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, he said, I don't know. He asked another devotee to help him. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't know how to read English. No. Actually, he wrote to Prabhupada and Prabhupada wrote back to him. He said, you should read all of my books. And then he wrote back. He wrote back to Srila Prabhupada saying that, Srila Prabhupada, I don't know how to read English. And again, the instruction came back, you have to read all my books. Now, you can imagine that you don't know the language. That time, in the European language, not many books were translated. Only the books were there in English. And you receive the instruction from Srila Prabhupada that you have to read all my books. Now you could have figured out, okay, you know, this is, how is it possible that I don't understand English and Prabhupada doesn't understand that I don't understand English. He could have figured out like that. But rather than doing that, what he did was, he took a dictionary and he learned ABCD. And for very beginning, every book, he said, every word when he would read in English, he had to see for a dictionary. Now one book, if you want to read perfect question, perfect answer, you can imagine for a person who doesn't know anything about English, every word is a foreign. For every word, you need a dictionary. Like that, he read all Srila Prabhupada's books. He followed that instruction. He read all Srila Prabhupada's books. And because he had faith in the words of spiritual master, he read all Srila Prabhupada's books. And simply by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, not only the English language was revealed to him, but also the imports of the Shastra was revealed to him. And he said, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I gave lecture in Howard University. In English. On the subject of Krishna consciousness. So this is the understanding of the Shastra. You have Varsana Maharaj's story. He said, he read the book. He said, I didn't understand anything. What did I understand? That one has to approach the spiritual master. And Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj's story tells us that after approaching the spiritual master, either you understand his instruction or you don't understand his instruction. You have to follow his instruction. That's how the domain of devotional service works. It is, we becoming devotee itself is an achintya thing. If you think that, if you perceive and actually make a, you know, whole list how you become a devotee, logically present step by step, this happened, then this happened, that means you don't realize the inconceivable energy of Krishna consciousness. When you wake up in the morning, if you see you are still a devotee, you should praise Krishna. You know, I am here, such a nasty person and still practicing Krishna consciousness. Krishna must be really God. I still am able to practice devotional life. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says that Bahu Janma, what is that? Janma Koti Sukritir Na Labhyate. One cannot attain the seed of bhakti even after many millions lifetime pious activities. It does not come. Srila Prabhupada explained, the seed of bhakti comes because some devotees decide for us that this person, and I want him to become a devotee. And because of their endeavor, because of their compassion, you know, we are able to practice devotional service. Otherwise, if you go from the point of view of law, you know, your caliber, your character, your disposition, then you realize it is so inconceivable that I am chanting Hare Krishna. I should be doing something else, completely materialistic activities. That is the power of bhakti yoga, that is the power of bhakta, and that is the power of the process of bhakti yoga, which is inconceivable. If you conceive it, then it is not spiritual, it is material. Stop here, yes?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Prabhuji, in the lecture you are mentioning about nowadays people are accepting Buddhism because it facilitates their sense gratification.
Yeah.
But we find that Buddhists, they are quite austere. How, means we find them doing a lot of tapasya. So how, means could you more elaborate more on this point that how it is facilitating the...
Srila Prabhupada spoke about Stalin also. He was, his austerity, if you hear, when he had a surgery in his stomach, or I think on his hand, they had to perform a surgery. Stalin is another demon. Hitler was one demon and Stalin was one demon. They killed billions of people. When he was being operated, he was scared that if he takes anesthesia, then he was thinking that, you know, if I take general anesthesia, then I will be unconscious and then my enemies might kill me. So he went through a surgery without taking any anesthesia. A long surgery, 2-3 hour surgery. Can you perform such austerity? No, we can't. Hiranyakashipu's austerity cannot be surpassed by anybody. And he followed exactly the Vedic style. All the tapasya what he performed was from the scriptures only. So austerity doesn't mean that you are a devotee. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita purport, fasting for a nationalistic cause is demoniac. Huh? It is not at all devotional. Jayadat Maharaj gave an example, very brilliant example. He said, a small child, when he wants something from his parents, he wants a bicycle. What does he do? He does fasting. I'm not going to eat anything. He starves. He said, that is not considered as tapasya. That is a sense gratification. You know, he is waiting for a better sense gratification. So therefore, the Buddhistic philosophy, which talks about, again, you say that they are doing tapasya, not true also. The present Buddhist, if you go to certain sections of the Buddhistic countries, they eat anything which flies except the plane. They eat everything which has leg except the table. That's what they're saying is. So therefore, when you practice, and therefore Srila Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita in one purport, when you don't practice the Vedic religion, then you become abominable and condemned. When you don't practice Vedic religion, then you become abominable and condemned. One of the great leaders of their sect, while preaching non-violence, his delicacy, his favorite delicacy is blood. One of the great Christian, you know, big leader, his favorite delicacy was eating veal. Veal is, you know, you take a newborn calf and put in a small box which is 6 by 6 inch, less than 6 by 6 inch, and don't allow that calf to move around. You know, arrest the movement of the calf and feed that calf every day, and the calf grows, but the nerve, the bones are not developed, only the body is developed. It becomes very soft because for 6 weeks the calf is not allowed to move even 1 inch, and they feed that cow as much as possible, force that calf to eat. And after 6 weeks, they slaughter that calf. And from that meat, they make some kind of preparation. And that is served as a delicacy for one of the biggest leader of a religion. So even though the austerities are being performed, but they don't see the connection. And what is the sign of a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness? Lord Chaitanya quoted the story of Mrigari. So that is the story. Mrigari was, he was killing animals half, and he would take great pleasure in that. But when he came in touch with Narad Muni, he would not even step on an insignificant ant. And Parvat Muni, when he saw that, he was astounded. He praised Narad Muni. But Narad Muni said, it is not surprising. Anybody who has become a devotee of the Lord, that is his behavior. That he cannot harm any living entities. From being a half killer of the animals, you become so sensitive for the insignificant insect like ant also. Otherwise, our whole practice of religion is quite, it's Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrik Vidim Vina Aikantika Harer Bhaktir Utpate Vahi Kalpate. It simply causes unlimited havoc. Therefore, either you perform austerities or don't perform austerities. If you don't practice, we are not being fanatical. One can practice, one can read Bible, one can read Quran. But one has to come to this conclusion that non-violence is one of the basic character of a devotee. Not hurting other living entities. If your practice of God consciousness is not auspicious, it is not beautiful, then you are not practicing God consciousness. You are causing violence. That is the point. We'll stop here or? Stop. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.